The technology?
I'm not sure if that works.
I'm retarded, okay. Something to Pastor and Mrs. Stevens? It's not her birthday. What do you got here? God bless you both. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll leave that later. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Am I on? Huh?
Is it on?
Yeah. No, I don't know. But is it on? Is it on? No. Huh? Genesis chapter 4. And just before that, you find we're going into what you call a brand new dispensation. Now, how many know what a dispensation is? Let's see your hands if you know what it is. Very few seem to raise their hand. A dispensation is a period of time in which God operated a certain way. And in each dispensation, there were certain characteristics of it. For example, the first, if you want to write these down, you may want to note that the first dispensation is the dispensation of what? Innocence. When Adam and Eve were innocent, and now we're moving into a new dispensation, it is the dispensation of conscience. A conscience. Now that's the part of you that brings about all kinds of reactions to when you do wrong. The problem with the conscience is that where it doesn't work is after a while you can harden your conscience if you're not careful. And we're going to see this. For example, we're going to see the story of Cain and Abel. It's obvious that he hardened his conscience, even though God confronted him. And then anybody here know what is the third dispensation? Well, okay, the third. So we're going to begin here in chapter 4 with the dispensation of conscience, and then you have human government. And you're going to find here that's man's responsibility. Up to that time, you're going to find, we're not going to get into it today, but man was not necessarily legally responsible for his sin. There wasn't a government that would judge him for that. But he says, and so we're going to find in chapter 9, human government takes place. And if you kill somebody, starting in chapter 9, you're going to pay the price for it. So human government came into being. Then the fourth one is the government of promise, the Israelite nation, where God will make promises to Israel. And by the way, I wish I could get everyone in this class to pray for Israel. You want to see your life blessed? You pray for Israel. They're God's chosen people. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you right now, they're more important than the United States as far as God is concerned. I don't find the United States anywhere in Bible prophecy, but I find Israel in prophecy, God talks about their prophecy, their people, and the place. So you need to pray for this great land of Israel, and human government takes place. Then in Exodus chapter 19, you have the law. I can outtalk any baby. We have the law, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And how many of you remember those days when your kids would do that, huh? Happy days are here again. All right. Happy days are here again. So you have the law. And that's the fifth one. And will the Ten Commandments save? Well, keeping the Ten Commandments save you?
No,
because you can't keep them. That's your problem. So you have that. And it's interesting that the first four of the seven dispensations are found in Genesis and up through Genesis 12. Then the law is in Exodus. Then you have here the New Testament. You have, some people like to call that the dispensation of grace. I don't. The reason is God has always saved man by grace. Abraham was saved by grace. Moses was saved by grace. He broke the law. But I like to call it the church age. When you get into the New Testament, you have what is the sixth dispensation, and that is the dispensation of the church age. Now, there's questions as when the church began. Personally, I believe it began in Acts. on the day of Pentecost. Some people believe it was John the Baptist. You can believe what you want, and when you get to heaven, you'll find out I was right. It's okay. All right. And then the last dispensation is the kingdom age, when Jesus Christ will come back and will rule and reign for that 1,000 years, and then we go into eternity future. So let me give them to you again. They have innocence, then you have conscience. Man has a conscience. Then you have human government, where God instituted, whosoever sheddeth blood by man, his blood shall be what? Shed. You believe in capital punishment? God does. God does. And then you have promise, when God made promises to Israel through Abraham. Then you have law, Ten Commandments, grace. I call it the church age, because man has always been saved by grace. There's no other way to be saved. Aren't you glad for grace? And then you have the kingdom. When Christ comes back, those are the seven dispensations. We're not going to go any more of that, but we're now in what we call the second dispensation, which is conscience. Look at verse 22 of chapter 3 first. And the Lord God said, behold, there that the man is become as one of us. He knoweth good and evil. Before that, he only knew what? Good. Now he knows evil. That's where your conscience comes in. Knows evil. All right? And now lest he be put forth his hand and take also of the but live forever. God was concerned. You know, God's gracious. He kicked man out of the garden for many reasons, but the most important was that man wouldn't eat of that tree of life and live forever in a state that would never be corrected, and of sin. Therefore, the Lord God, verse 23, sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Now, the word drove here has a strong word. He didn't say, now, Adam and Eve, would you like to leave the garden? He pushed them out. He got them out of there. You know, sometimes God has to push us because we will not listen to him and we want to go our own way. And he placed the east of the garden a cherubim. Now, how many know what a cherubim is? You know what a cherubim is? All right. Anyone? And how many do not know what a cherubim is? It's interesting. Three or four raised your hand that you did know, and the rest of you didn't raise your hand. You didn't know, but you're all sitting there. It's an interesting class. A cherubim is an angel. And an angel that there's different ranks of angels in Scripture. But God put that cherubim there that no way they'd ever come back to the garden. You realize how powerful angels are? I mean, in one day, the Syrian army, 175,000, he just killed them. Angels can do that. And you'd realize that every one of you have at least one angel ministering to you. You know that? How many knew that? Let me show you. You really knew that. How many didn't know that? Raise your hand. It's an interesting class. Go all the way to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 1, if you will, please. Now, that's in the New Testament. Thought I'd help you since some of you are having a hard time here figuring out, all right? In chapter 1, verse 14, says, are they not, or referring to, look at verse 13, but which of the angels, said he, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, who shall be saved? And God protects you, because God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you would accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So what's he do? He has angels watching over us. And I've been in a few automobile accidents. Had to send a few angels back to heaven for a repair job. But anyway, and God takes care of us. God just, if I had time and had time being here, and I'm not going to have time, once you get your pastor, I'd preach a whole series on angels. Because you know what? We got people today who worship angels. I'm talking about Christians who talk about, you don't pray to angels, you don't talk to angels. Nowhere in Scripture should you do that. You talk to God. You talk to God. All right? Do that. Now let's go back and begin here with chapter 4, if you will, please. And we're going to see here dispensation of conscience. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now keep in mind something. Every woman in that time prayed that God would give him a male child. Now, anybody know why?
Genesis 3:15.
Yeah. There would be somebody, be the Messiah, would come and would take care of the sin problem, would pay the price. And Genesis 3, verse 15 is right. And so Cain was here, born. And then the Bible tells us here, as we move on down in the text, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of a flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth. The word wroth here is a word which means he literally went into rage. Now keep in mind, he probably brought a fruit salad of some kind, but it was the product of something he did, and God would not accept it, and he became angry. Now what was the difference? Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, what? No remission, which means removal of sin. But Cain. Now, Cain's a very interesting prayer. You have three New Testament talks about Cain. And I want you to turn. Cain will not be in heaven. Okay? Let's get that one down. Let's go to the New Testament here for a moment. And I want you to see this here. I thought if I wrote down the references. I hope I did. Yeah. Be good if I turn the right page. Doesn't that work better? All right, work better. I want you to go here to Jude. Go to the book. Now, listen, this is a Baptist church. We like spiritual freedom. So you choose any chapter you want in Jude. Just whatever you feel comfortable with in Jude, you just turn to that chapter. Does that sound good? Huh? However, if you turn to a second or third chapter, you have serious Bible problems. Okay? But look there at verse 11, because I want you to notice three things about this man Cain as we look here. And I want you to notice the way of Cain. Woe to them, that for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now Cain is the first apostate. You know what? How many know what apostate is? Apostate is one who has fallen away from truth. And by the way, an apostate can never be saved. I'm convinced they can never be saved. Cain was an apostate because he rejected the most important part of doctrine, the shedding of blood, Christ's redemption on the cross for us there. Now notice this, and notice who, one verse here. You never hear the statement, evil company corrupts good morals? That's in the Bible. I do not, would not want the same verse be one associated with these other two fellows. We have Cain, and he ran after the error of Balaam. You have Balaam, and rewarded and perished in the gainsaying Korah. That's in Numbers 16. He certainly, all three of these fellows were apostates. You aren't going to find these fellows in heaven. The way of Cain is he went his own way and not God's way. God's, you know, now I'm convinced both these boys knew God required a blood sacrifice. Now it's not in the written Bible. You have to assume that because God, 3:15. Genesis 3:15. So Cain refused. So here we have the way of Cain here. Now, if you go to the second reference, you go over there, if you will, please, and follow with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So we're going backwards. Chapter 3. Here you see the works of Cain. The way of Cain was his way. All we like sheep have turned our own what? Way. Look at chapter 3 of Genesis. 1 John chapter 3. And look there in verse 12 and 13. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother, and wherefore he slew him. And wherefore slew he him? Why? Because his own what? Works were evil. So you have not only the way of Cain. I know, God, you want me to offer this, but I'm going to offer this beautiful sacrifice that I put together. I mean, it was probably a beautiful thing to look at. The cross is not a beautiful thing to look at. And so he wouldn't go God's way. Then we have the works of Cain over here. And we know, according to that, his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now you have a third thought. So you got this fellow, Cain. You see the way? I'll choose my own way. Don't we have a lot of people doing that today? I'll choose my own way. We find it. And then the works. And then we have his witness. Look there in the book of Hebrews. The Hero Hall of Fame. Anybody know what chapter that is in Hebrews? The Hero 11, right? Turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, if you will, please. So turn there. You have the final passage over there in verse 4 here of chapter 11. You got it? By faith, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a what? A witness. So he noticed the way of Cain, the works of Cain, the witness of Cain. His witness was not as Abel's witness. That he was righteous, God testified his gift, and by he being Abel spoke up there. Now here you have, he's talking here about Abel here, and of course Cain did not, his witness was different. Oh, how's your witness? How's your witness? You know, people look at us, don't they? The only testimony, the only gospel some people will read is a gospel according to you and a gospel according to me. Now let's go back here. Go back to our text for a moment. So we have the way of Cain, and we have the works of Cain, and his witness was not a right witness. And so we come over here. But here is, I want you to know something. This is why I don't like to call the sixth dispensation a dispensation of grace. You find grace everywhere in the Bible. Look over here. You see grace right here. Let's just read down here. Let's look here. And let's look at verse 5. When to Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth. And let me tell you what these words count as. It means his face fell. Now that doesn't mean a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. My son, who flies jet planes, still flies them, but in 2001, you all remember 2001, what happened in 2001? 9/11 took place, didn't it, huh? My son, I remember my wife's birthday. I was at a meeting, and my wife called me, and she said, this was just right after 9/11. My son was in New York, by the way, on 9/11. At 9:10, he flew in to New York City, and he had to, he loved to stay in the Marriott. You know where the Marriott was located? Right in the middle of the World Trade Center. So he said, I got my passengers called ahead, and they said, well, Tim, we're sending you down to Times Square. Tim tried to talk to me. He said, we're doing such a great commercial job, we don't want to go corporate rates. We're making a lot of money. So Tim went down. The next day, he saw him jumping out of the buildings. But on just a few weeks later, in October 23rd, I get this phone call from my wife. And I said, honey, I'm supposed to call you. It's your birthday. And she said, it's got a call from Tim. He's got a brain tumor. size of 4 golf balls. And they're going to have to take it out. We don't know if it's malignant or not. Well, they went in, took that tumor out. It wasn't malignant. But his face fell because that nerve was severed. They had to wait till it grew back. And this day, he can't hear out of his right ear. Can you imagine flying your jet planes without hearing? In your right ear, you know, you hear out of the air, left ear. I always just kid my daughter-in-law, said, I said to him about my daughter-in-law. Remember one day I was driving with him, and I said, Aaron or Tim, God's good to you, Tim. He said, yeah, God spared me through this. He said, not only that, he said, when you're driving your car and your wife's sitting next to you, you don't have to hear a word you say because that nerve's been severed in your right ear. All right. That's not what it means here to drop the face. His face dropped. It literally meant the countenance. The word countenance is the word face. By the way, put on a good face. Learn to smile. Learn to be happy. Don't look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. And God is good. So look what God does here. This is very key here. Here's grace in verse 6. Now, God confronts Cain. There are three words. You know, I use a lot of alliteration. How many are aware of that? That's because I'm illiterate. But anyway, here we have alliteration. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, here's the first one, why art thou wrath? Now, do you think God knew that he knew? He was, well, of course he did. But he was confronting Cain about his sin, fallen. And then he says, look at verse 7. Here's grace in verse 6 and 7. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? That's grace. You offered the wrong offering, but I'm going to give you a chance to make it right. Aren't you happy about the God of the second chance? In my case, it's God of the third chance and fourth chance and all that. Because God wants us to be saved and live right. I remember rejecting Christ as my Savior as a little boy. I thought that was a bunch of baloney. But boy, God just kept working on John Stevens and gave me another chance and another chance. And hallelujah, when I was 20 years of age, after my brother had committed suicide, I began to think about God and so forth. And so I accepted Christ as my Savior. Thank God for the God of the... That's grace! So here the confrontation here. He confronted his anger. Now he's going to confront his attitude. Look there, you know, attitude is determined by your altitude. Did you know that? I don't mean how high you are. My son goes 35,000 feet up in the air flying planes, but it's your spiritual altitude, how close you are with God. Let's look here. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, this is the dispensation of conscience. If it was human government, what would have happened? He would have had to die. But here's conscience. God, the law had the human government had not taken place. And the Lord said unto Cain, here's the second W. He not only confronted his anger, he confronts his attitude. Where is Abel thy brother? And here's the saying. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Have you ever heard people use that? Is it not my brother's keeper? What's the answer? Yes, yes. You better believe you are. That's John Stevens' translation. You better believe you are. You're responsible for the brother sitting next to you and next to you, even though he may not be the best guy you know. I don't know.
Oh, he is.
All the things you said about him to me privately, you know, I was wondering. But... we're responsible for each other. We are. And so here he deals with his attitude. You can almost see Cain going, am I my brother's keeper? Well, you killed him. And he killed him. So we have not only the confrontation, he confronted his anger, he confronted his attitude. And then he confronted his actions in verse 10. And he says, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me." Confrontation of his act. But he wants him to be confronted with what he did. You know, mark those three things. When you are on the outs with God. He wasn't on the... By the way, Cain was not necessarily on the outs with his brother Abel. It was God. Hello? You know, I find that when I have a problem with somebody on the horizontal level, it's normally a vertical problem. Hello? My relationship. And then my attitude. My attitude. How many of you ever had to apologize to your spouse because of your attitude? The rest of you need to get right with God. Are you tired today? Is that it? You've had a rough, you know, if you think you're tired, the people in Florida and South Carolina, they'd like to trade places with you right now. All right, they're getting ready for the hurricane. All right. All right, so here we see then God's confrontation of his anger, his actions, attitude, and his action. And now thou art cursed from the earth, verse 11, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. From him come a lot of the nomad tribes that roamed. And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." But what should he have done? What's the word starts with an R?
Repent.
God's still working with him here, trying to get him to see. And instead of saying, you know, you hear people, "God's not going to send me to hell because we got a loving God." You heard that before? Yeah, well, I got news for you. You're going to hell without Christ. No matter what you and I think, it's going to happen without him. God punishes sin. And hallelujah, my sins have been punished for, and yours too, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I got to stop here in a minute, but think with me here as God deals with him. And I'll just deal with more next time because my time is up. Let me say next time, too, I want to deal here with, you're going to find seven references to the Lamb. And you find it typified where Abel offered, what, the sacrifice. Never going to see it prophesied. I'll go see it. Boy, it's going to be a great truth here. I hope you see it. All right, Lord bless you. Learn to raise your hand. How many's team lost last night? Yesterday? You're still not raising your hand. Believe. You can leave. Time to go.